Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you're not going anywhere. So this exercise we're doing is a very important exercise that is training us and allowing us to develop the inner man. Do you see? Because you have an inner man that needs to be strengthened. Hallelujah. And so I really want to encourage all of you to participate in this exercise, to participate in the prayer. Do you see? And to pray. Wake up and pray. You're not used to it. That's why you're struggling with it. But I think that by the time we are done, all of us will become used to it. Amen. That's why you get a little help here and there, text messages, even while we are praying, just to make sure that you are still awake and to make sure that you are still around. Hallelujah. And also the secret is to go to bed early. Do you see? To go to bed early. I mean, if you go to bed at midnight, you shouldn't be surprised that at 3 o'clock you can't wake up. I mean, 3 o'clock you are just about turning the curve in the sleep. Do you see? So go to bed early. Try to go to bed by 9. You see? And going to bed early requires discipline. You see, you have to say, I'm going to sleep. Then you have to go into the bed, put yourself in this bed and cover yourself and say, I'm asleep. Hallelujah. Then you hear the phone ringing and you say, I'm asleep. You get it? And you can hear the beep, beep, beep text message. Strong temptation. Just check, just check. You say, no, I'm asleep. Do you understand? And you do that to help yourself. Without discipline, you cannot serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, while we are praying, we've been reading this book, The Sweet Influences of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is a book written by our pastor, Bishop Dagg. And I want to encourage all of you to get copies of this book, do you see? Because this book contains basically, it's just a list. It's a list of all the areas of your life that can be affected by the Holy Spirit. You see? And so it is intended to guide our praying. You see, to know how to pray. Because many of us don't know how to pray, really. You know? And that is one of the reasons why we don't pray, because we don't know what to say. Do you see? We don't know what to pray about. You know, you realize that the things you like to pray about, okay, I need a job. After you say, I need a job, then what? Do you see what I'm saying? But there are other things and more deeper things that you can pray about. You know, one of them is the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. His influence in different areas of your life. Hallelujah. Different aspects of your life that the Holy Spirit can influence. And so one of them, for example, is your knowledge of God. You see, the influence of the Holy Spirit on your knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit helps you to know God. You see, by guiding you into all truth, according to John chapter 16 and verse 13, you know, the Holy Spirit reminds you of things. John chapter 14 and verse 26, the Bible says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Is somebody doing this with me? Maybe you just do it with me. It's like Pastor Munene didn't know whether, is this the preaching or shall we wait for something else? But since I'm here, why don't we just go through some of this? It's the Holy Spirit, it's the scriptures, so we might as well go through some of it. Amen. Amen. Right. So, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, when he says, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Hallelujah. Which means that Jesus did not intend that we remember all the things he has taught us without the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you need the help of the Holy Spirit to remember the things, even the preachings in the church. Do you understand? To remember the preachings in the church, to have a sharp memory, you need the Holy Spirit. And not only the things that he has taught us, he will bring all things to your remembrance. Do you see? All things to your remembrance. People who are led by the Holy Spirit tend to be intelligent. So the Holy Spirit can influence your intelligence. Those of you who are in school and studying, sometimes the reason why your work is so difficult and you struggle is because you're not being helped by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? You're not engaging. You see, Renee is laughing. You get it? You're not engaging his help where your schoolwork is concerned. Amen. But you can see, it says, he shall teach you all things. That means cleverness, you know, and intelligence is actually a product of interaction with the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? So, the Comforter, he will bring all things that I have taught you to your remembrance. Amen.
Amen.
Then chapter 16 and verse 13, he will guide you into truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, right? John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you see? So through the influence of the Holy Spirit, you can actually predict even how things will be. Can you see that? Or am I making it up? Do you see it in the Bible? He will guide you into all truth. That also means that you will not be easily deceivable. Isn't it? You will not be easily deceived. If you are influenced by the Holy Spirit, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you will not be easily deceived. Because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Amen? And he will show you things to come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Another one. The Holy Spirit will teach you directly. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. The Holy Spirit will teach you. It says, when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you are taught many things by God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the substance with which people are anointed. And when you receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that there are things that he will teach you directly. Do you understand? There are things you will know without a teacher. It's like nobody taught you, but you know it. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And you will find yourself having knowledge across so many different areas of life. And everyone will just wonder, how do you know all these things? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. The next verse or the next point makes it even clearer. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. First John chapter 2 and verse 20. We're reading verse 27. Just back up to verse 20. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Can you see that? Ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. Amen. So you can see that through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will impact your knowledge of God. Amen. He will make you more knowledgeable about God Himself because He reveals God. And not only God, you will find yourself also knowing a whole lot of things. Amen. Knowing and even having the capacity to learn about so many different things because you are led by the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Right? Then, if you jump onto the next chapter, chapter 4, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your prayer life. You know, you need the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. Do you understand? Yeah. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. And that especially, you see, because the Holy Spirit is from God. And it is through the Holy Spirit that you can know what God likes to hear. Do you understand? And know how to pray properly. Isn't it?
Yeah.
See, have you ever been on the phone before? Maybe you are calling some office, government office or something like that to complain about something. Then they say, put it in writing.
Yeah.
You know, then you realize, what should you say in the letter? Or even at school, sometimes they'll tell you, go and write something. And you ask, so what should I say? Or what should I say in the letter? So you ask the person on the other side of the phone, you know, you just ask the person, what should the letter say? Then the person starts to tell you how to write such a letter. Have you done that before? Yeah. And they tell you, just write, dear so and so, and just tell us, number one, you are from this place and that you know, it's like people who apply for financial aid, you see, and grants and so on. Sometimes you don't know how to ask, dear sir, please, I need money. You can ask not how to write. There is a way to write. Do you get it? And the best person who knows how that letter sounds or should sound is the person who works in that office. Is it not the truth? Yeah. So the person will tell you, you write a letter, tell us who you are, tell us which school you are coming to, what course you are coming to study, and then tell us how much you need. Yeah. And then just sign it and bring it to us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He guides our prayer and He teaches us what prayer is important and how to pray, how to say what must be said in a way that gets God's attention and in a way that brings results. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So when you go through that, you also see that the Holy Spirit, there are so many different areas, you know, what to pray for, you know, and so many different things like that. Amen.
Amen.
Then another chapter. How the Holy Spirit helps you, your ability to be holy. Your ability to be holy. The Holy Spirit's influence on your ability to live a holy life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In two main areas. To resist the lust of your flesh. You get it? Because most of our impurity is caused by yielding to the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit helps us by helping us to resist the edges of the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
And the desires and lusts of the flesh. Then the Holy Spirit also has a sanctifying influence on us. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the... Let's read the verse before, you know. Verse 1 and verse 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Holy Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Amen. The Holy Spirit has a sanctifying effect. It's like a constant cleaning up effect on us. Amen. And that helps us to stand before God. Amen. Next one, the Holy Spirit and your spiritual strength. The Holy Spirit and your spiritual strength. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual strength. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as a Christian, you need to be strong. You need to be a strong Christian. And a strong Christian is not in a physical sense. You need to be strong spiritually. There should be a part of you on the inside that is strong. Amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. And he gives us strength in two ways. By giving might to you in the inner man, according to the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. I'm just trying to give you just an overview, okay, of some of the things in this book. And I want to encourage all of you to get up. You have them? Okay, so the books are over there. And I want you, everybody should get one and take your time and read it as you're reading. I mean, it's loaded with scriptures, you know. It's just like your pastor's notes. Do you understand? It's like when you're reading a book by your pastor, it's like your pastor gave you his preaching notes. You see? So you have the points, and then you have the scriptures that back the points, and then you will just be studying them. And as you do it, you can even do it as you are praying. It makes your prayer time more fruitful and makes you less likely to fall asleep. What do you think? Yeah. Amen. All right. So he gives you strength. The Holy Spirit gives you strength. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14 to 16. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Can you see that? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. That God will strengthen you with might. Amen? He will strengthen you with might. He will make you strong by giving you might. Do you understand? Yeah, he will strengthen you by making you able. Might is ability. You understand? Might is capacity. You know? And might is capability. That you can do it. Hallelujah. Now, one of the reasons why we fall sometimes for temptation is because we lack might. We don't have strength. Amen. But the Holy Spirit will strengthen you with might. Hallelujah. Yeah. And in Isaiah chapter 11, you know, the Bible shows how the spirit of might can rest on a person. Okay, it says the spirit at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. You know, now the Spirit of the Lord, you know, what the Bible, or what we refer to as the seven spirits of God in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Now over here, the Bible is telling us that what we generally call the Spirit of the Lord has many different components. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord has many different expressions, many different ways that he expresses himself, you know, and it is all the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So sometimes when you say the Spirit of the Lord is upon someone, you may be referring to a particular aspect of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is revealing himself in a particular way to that person or through that person. Do you see what I'm saying? So he breaks down the Spirit of the Lord here for us to know what are the components of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And what is in verse 3. The Spirit, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Hallelujah. So you can see, I mean, this particular verse is very interesting, because from this verse you understand that when someone has the Spirit of God, you know, most of the impact of the Holy Spirit on a person has to do with the person's mind. Do you understand? His thinking. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And that's understandable, because everything every human being does depends on his thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody is regulated by the quality of his thinking. Our dressing is reflective of the way we think. What we eat is reflective of the way we think. Do you understand? It's like you can't, if you are foolish, you can't easily hide it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And you can't pretend to be wise. Yeah. You can't hide your foolishness. Your foolishness will always betray you. Because it's the way it shows in the way you think, it shows in your decisions, it shows in the choices you make, you know, it shows in what you pass off as good, and it shows in even what you reject and what you say is not good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You see that. You cannot hide it. And so when the Holy Spirit is on the person, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to influence. Look at the verse we're reading. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the person. Then he says the Spirit of wisdom. Do you see? And the Spirit of understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Now, the Spirit of God upon a person gives him wisdom. Do you see? And understanding. Then the Spirit of counsel. So, you know, counsel is advice, isn't it? Which also has to do with your thinking. And wisdom is knowing how to use your knowledge, which is also to do with your mind, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And then understanding. You see, these three things that you see, you hear about often, knowledge and wisdom and then understanding. When you read the book of Proverbs, you see that sometimes they use the three, sometimes it appears they are being used interchangeably, and then sometimes all three appear. Also to tell you that they are actually, you know, different from each other in a way. Do you understand? So knowledge refers to what you know, and then understanding helps you to know the value of what you know. Do you see what I'm saying? And then wisdom gives you the ability to use what you know. Do you understand? So a person can have knowledge, but when he does not have wisdom, his knowledge doesn't benefit him. Do you get it? That's what you, so you can have someone who will go to school and have a lot of degrees, but end up very, very poor because he has the knowledge, you see, but he does not have one understanding, which is the an appreciation of what he knows and what it can do for him. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you can have something, you can have a book. One of the reasons why, let's say I give this book to Pastor Henry. I've given him a book. You see, but if he does not understand, if he does not understand the value of this book, what reading this book can do to him, he can have it, but it will not benefit him. Do you see what I'm saying? So having something is not the same as benefiting from the thing. Having something is one thing, but you need a different gift, or you need another extra help to be able to benefit from that something that you have. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So the Holy Spirit, he gives you the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and then of counsel, and then he gives you also might. You get it? He gives you might, the strength, the courage. Do you understand? To be able to do what you know. Hallelujah. Because sometimes people don't do things not because they don't know that's what they are supposed to do. They just don't have the guts to do it. Do you see? And then the Holy Spirit steps in and he supplies the guts to do what you know you must do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes what you know you must do is to say no to somebody. You get it? But just to let those words fall out of your lips is the problem. So you have the knowledge. Do you understand? You have the knowledge and you have the understanding. Even that is helping you to know that this thing is, the solution to this problem is a no. Do you understand? Yeah. But now you need might to be able to cross over from what you know into action. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is going to give that to you. Can I have an amen? Amen. And then another one is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord also has to do with how you perceive God. Do you see? Many people in today's world do not have any fear of the Lord at all. That means they don't have any consciousness of God. You know, or even if they have a consciousness of God, it's not backed by any type of reverential fear. Do you understand that you, like, you think about God, and because you think about God, it affects the way or your outlook on life and how you see and relate with people. Do you see what I'm saying? The fear of the Lord is when the fear of the Lord is on somebody, the person has a certain understanding of God and the role that God plays in his life. And so is careful, you know, even in his utterances, when somebody has the fear of God, you hear things like, by the grace of God, when they speak. Do you understand? They don't hold themselves out too proudly. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, yesterday, this famous journalist is supposed to have died. Yeah, he died, actually. You know, and I just happened to be reading somebody's, you know, comments somewhere. I think someone who, the person who made the announcement on the BBC, one of the BBC correspondents who made the announcement, I read that the guy said, or the fellow said, that, if it's so easy to die, or something to that effect, if it's so easy to die, why does a human being act so proudly? Do you understand? He was saying that if it's really true that somebody can be here today and tomorrow he's just gone, I mean, why do people act so proud? Do you see? And you know, it got me thinking, actually. I was just thinking that, you know, this person is beginning to see a certain revelation. Do you understand? And a person can just be here today and then tomorrow you're just gone. In fact, life itself, when you think about the options, I think that considering that you only have one life, There are too many ways or possibilities and too many opportunities to lose it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was asking myself, why are there so many opportunities to lose something that you actually get to have only once? Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe not. I don't think you understand. What I mean is that if you had something, and if everybody had layers of lives, you get it? If everybody has, let's say, up to 9 different chances to live, then it wouldn't matter that there are so many ways to die. Do you see? Because as you go through life, the first one will get you. Maybe you lose your first stage, then you lose a second stage, but you are still going on. But if you think about the things that can kill a person, so many, if you take even your body, just your body is made up of so many different moving parts. Do you see? And any one of them that does not function properly can just send you out. That's just you by yourself in a corner. Nobody has touched you. do you understand? So even you, left to yourself, you are a bundle of opportunities to die. Before we talk about what others can do to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. What others can do to you, both on purpose, that is intentionally, and then by accident. So you see that when a human being is walking around, you know, and survives, makes it alive, you know, something must be keeping you and something must be preserving you and preventing all these hundreds of possibilities from happening to you. That must be the reason why you are alive. Hallelujah. Right. So anyway, back to what I was saying, that the Holy Spirit gives you strength by giving you might. Amen. And causing the spirit of might to rest upon you. Right. Then the next chapter talks about the Holy Spirit's influence on your physical strength. This time it's not him helping you spiritually, but he's actually helping you physically. Hallelujah. And there are many examples or many scriptures in the Bible that shows that strength can come from the spirit realm to affect you physically. Hallelujah. In other words, you can have strength from the spirit realm to do something that you could not otherwise do physically, that you were not physically strong enough to do it. But then strength comes from the spirit realm to affect your physical body and to help you to do such a thing. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And let me just read through some of those examples. Number one, an evil spirit gave one man enough strength to overcome 7 sons of Sceva. And that's in Acts chapter 19 and from verse 14. Acts chapter 19 from verse 14. It says, and there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can you see that? Now, normally, one man cannot fight 7 different people. Do you understand? One man does not beat up 7 different people. That's why it doesn't take 7 police officers to arrest one person. Do you understand? Yeah. Unless the person, that one man, is in a movie. You get it? Huh? It's in a movie where everybody's behavior is scripted. It's been written. And everybody has been given the limits. Somebody who is called a director will be there, and then he'll tell the person, now come, hit him this way. He'll say, throw your hand like that. All right. Then when you throw your hand, they say, you die, die. Okay. So the director makes the hero give you this kick. And when he gives you the kick, Even a kick that wouldn't have taken you down, you are supposed to go down. Do you understand? Yeah, you say, go down. Then he looks at how long he wants the movie to last. And so he says, when you go down, come again. So you get up and you come back. Then he gives you a second kick and you go down. Say, come again. Gives you a third. Now when you want to come the third time, say, no, it's enough. I think by now the movie is running too long. So now, die. You get. So all of that is arranged. So in the movie, we can see that one man can beat about 20 people. You see, like, what's the guy's name? The guy who breaks people's bones. Steven Seagal, isn't it? Yeah. He breaks people's bones, I tell you. He beats them. And then he will just break your... Hey. Now, such people, you notice, are not common in real life. Do you understand? Yeah. They are not very common in real life. You see? That is why sometimes engaging in martial arts is not a very practical thing to do, because the way real life fights come, that's not how they come. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So sometimes you go through all your life, you see that you don't get anybody to fight with. In that way. Hallelujah. So what was I saying? How did I get into that? Yes, so look at a demon that is in one man. And then seven people went to cast the spirit out. And the spirit said to them then, look, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, and they fled out of that house naked and wounded. The spirit actually took their clothes from them, all seven of them, ripped off their clothes and beat them up and sent them running in the streets out of the house. You see, so it's an example of how an evil spirit strength has come from the realm of the spirit into a physical person to make him stronger than he normally would be. Can you see that? Right? There's another example. Number two is the madman of Gadara. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Can you see that? Yeah. The man had unclean spirits in him, who had his dwelling among tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Hallelujah. So once again, you can see somebody is receiving strength from the spirit realm. That is how come you can't even put him in chains. You know, when you put him in chains, he just plucks the chains. I mean, he'll just take it and then he'll move it like that. Hallelujah. You see, such things are only found in movies. But in real life, when a policeman has you in handcuffs, there's nothing like you just pluck it. Hallelujah. You don't just pluck the handcuffs. You when the policeman arrests you, that is it. And even one police officer can put the handcuffs on you, and then you are done for. Hallelujah. So you can see that example, that somebody has become stronger physically because of the influence of strength from the realm of the spirit upon the person. Hallelujah. Now, these two examples involve evil spirits. So if it can happen in the evil sense, then you know that it can also happen in the real sense also. Hallelujah. And so in the next example, which is the example of Samson, you find in Judges chapter 14, and verse 5, that Samson had so much supernatural strength that he killed a lion as though he was killing a goat. Okay, Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 6. Then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Can you see that? Then verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Everybody say the Spirit of the Lord. Say the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. You know, this kid is not a little child kid. This kid is a goat, baby goat. Hallelujah. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Hallelujah. So here, the Bible is showing us the secret behind the strength of Samson and how a human being was able to overpower a lion all by himself. And he killed the lion. He just broke the neck of the lion like he was just dealing with a little, you know, little goat, small one. Do you see? So that is an example of how strength has come from the realm of the spirit to affect somebody supernaturally. Hallelujah. Amen. And then this same Samson, the next example, chapter 14 and verse 19. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. This time, he says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned and went up to his father's house. Because Samson, when you go home, you can read the story. Samson had a challenge with some people, you know, and the people told a riddle. Or I think it was he who told the riddle. And it is, the idea was that if the people can answer it, you know, what was it? It says that if the people can answer, if the people can, look, let's read it. We go to verse 15. Yeah, go to verse 15. Let's read it from verse 15. It says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that we may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that which we have? You know, is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And verse 17. And she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Hallelujah. Right. So what it is that Samson told the people, if you are able to tell me the riddle, then I'll do this. If you are not able to, then you must do this. Do you see? So now the people were nearing the deadline and they were afraid. So they prevailed on his wife to sort of talk to him to give them the answer to the riddle so they can tell him and then they will win, you know. So the wife sort of prevailed on the husband, and the husband told her the secret. Then she went to tell the people that this is the answer to the riddle. So on the seventh day when Samson came and asked, what is the answer to the riddle? Then the people told him, verse 18, the people told him the answer to the riddle, which is the men, it says, and the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye would not have found out my riddle. Do you understand that? Yeah. It means you went to play with my wife. Now she has told you the answer. Do you see? So the next verse, verse 19. Now Samson owed the people the clothes and the things that he had promised them. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and went up to his father's house. Right. So he had lost. Do you see? And to pay his side of the bet, he had to go and kill all these people. But the point is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon one man, and then he killed 30 people. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just 30. Finish them. You just come, he'll break your neck. Just come, he'll break your neck. Take off your clothes. And then he just took all of them. You know. So again, I just want you to see how the Spirit of the Lord, or strength, is coming from outside the normal realm to come and affect someone's physical capabilities. Amen. And I see that happening to you as you begin to lean on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. To be able to work even extra, to be able to do the work that you must do, you can have strength from the Holy Spirit. To make you even stay up at night and not lose your day. Do you understand? Yeah, because there are some people, once you stay up at night, then well, means the day also has to go. Do you understand? But you can have physical strength to the point where you don't need much sleep. Amen. To be able to function normally, you don't need much sleep. Hallelujah. You can have that strength from the Lord. You can have physical strength from the Lord that you don't easily fall ill. Do you get it? There are some of us who fall ill all the time. You're always sick. You know, you have to be on medications all the time. One of the things that can happen to you is strength from the realm of the Spirit that will come to empower and strengthen your physical body to be able to do something you could not do before. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. So there's another example with Samson, chapter 15 of Judges. Judges chapter 15 from verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men. Hey! These are the things they copy in the movies. do you understand? Yeah. But what it is that a human being has now supernatural strength. And the source of it is not a secret. The Bible says that it is because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he took the jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 people. One man killed 1,000 people. Because the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him. So maybe you don't have 1,000 people to kill. But you have other things to do that require physical strength. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the Spirit of the Lord can give you that strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the last example, the Holy Spirit gave Jesus supernatural strength to overcome in the wilderness. You know, the Bible says Jesus, at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, when you read on the story of Jesus Christ and the temptation of Jesus Christ, you see how the devil's first temptation for somebody who had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights was to turn stones to bread. Do you understand? And he thought he had struck him at the weakest place. Hallelujah. Because when someone hasn't eaten for 40 days, I mean, you think about it, when you haven't eaten even in the morning, this small fasting we are doing, isn't it? We are saying that you should eat even after the lunch hour prayer. And some people are not surviving even that. Do you get it? It's like we wake up in the morning and then not to have eaten by 10 o'clock, your whole body is shaking. Do you understand? And when someone mentions food, the thought of it, do you see, is like listening to the hallelujah chorus. Okay? Now, this guy has not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And so the devil thought, what could be a better temptation than something to do with food? You know? And so he said to him, turn these stones into bread. Hallelujah. But the Bible says Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And so because he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was able to resist that temptation. Say, oh no, it's not a problem at all. I can say no to this. I don't have to. I know I'm hungry, you know. I know I'm hungry, and I know you're offering me an opportunity to make bread, but I don't have to yield to you. I'm not going to do it. Wow. Hallelujah. So you can see that strength has come into him because of the influence of the Holy Ghost, and he's able to resist a physical temptation. Amen. And I believe that through the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to resist physical temptations. Do you understand? The temptation to look at things on your internet that you shouldn't be looking at. Do you understand? The temptation to drink things you shouldn't be drinking. Do you understand? The temptation to smoke things you shouldn't be smoking. To light up things that you shouldn't be lighting up. Hallelujah. See, it's a physical thing. You have a physical temptation. Do you understand? That needs spiritual strength to help you to overcome. Can I have an amen? And through the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do that. Can I have an amen? Amen. So there are many things like this. I've just shared with you the first few chapters. But here in chapter 8, we talk about the influence of the Holy Spirit on your level of intelligence. You know, I tell you, if the Holy Spirit will help your intelligence, you know, you will be able, not only intelligence is not only for school, do you see, but is for making good decisions also in life. Amen. And many of us, our lives are the way they are because of the decisions we have taken. Do you understand? And when you have not always made good decisions, you find it reflecting on the quality of life that you live. Hallelujah. So perhaps one of the ways the Lord will help you is to change the way you think. Do you understand? By making you more intelligent than you are. You know, and the Holy Spirit can do that. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit will influence your level of intelligence. Hallelujah. Amen. Then another one is the Holy Spirit and his influence on your character. Do you understand? Your character. Hallelujah. Because there are many of us, our character needs help. In fact, all of us. Isn't it? All of us, our character needs help. I mean, you know the way you are. Do you understand? Even sometimes you give hints. You tell people, you don't know me. Are you getting it? Yeah. Because you know that there is another part B of yourself that people don't know. Do you understand? Yeah. That there is another version of you that is not always walking in the street, but who is alive and very well. Hallelujah. Yeah. Who is alive and very well. I heard someone say the other day, said this person does not know who he's joking with. You know, and I was asking her, well, is there another you that we don't know? You know, but we have character traits that need help from the Holy Spirit. What do you think?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit can help us. He can change our character and improve our character. Give us strength to do the right thing. Say amen. Yeah. Another one is the Holy Spirit's influence on, his sweet influence on your ability to love. Hallelujah. Your ability to love. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will give you or influence your ability to love. Amen? Yeah. You see, it's not natural to be able to love the same person for a long time. Do you understand? That's why people break up relationships. Do you understand? Because what the things that make love, you know, the things that constitute love, do you see, are not the things or as we have been made to think. Do you understand? Yeah. Go to a restaurant with somebody, you know, sing a song to him or sing a song to her. Do you understand? In real life, it's not like that. Is it true or false? Yeah. Do you understand? But they still put it in the movies. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without the Holy Spirit's help, your capacity to love is very, very, very limited. The normal human being does not have the capacity to love. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit who can help you to still be interested in somebody after a very long time of knowing the person and knowing them, what they can do. Do you understand? Yeah. It's a different thing when somebody's at a wedding and the pastor is saying, say after me, I take you so and so. Then you say, I take you so and so. You know, do you take the person? Oh yeah, I do. Of course, I certainly will. Yeah. Yeah. You see some people, the preacher is saying, if you will, say, I will. Then you hear people say, I certainly will. Yeah. It's because they don't know. Do you get it? This I certainly will. As a pastor, I've seen it over time. You see that it changes to I certainly don't. You get it? Yeah. The same person who said I certainly do or I certainly will is now saying I certainly don't and I certainly won't. Yeah. Because the first one was based on ignorance. The person didn't know. And the second one is based on full disclosure. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I tell you that when you have the Holy Spirit influencing your ability to love, you will find that even after a long time, you still certainly do. Do you understand? You still will. You still want to. You still are able to. Not only do you want to, because sometimes you want to, but you can't. But when the Holy Spirit is helping you, you want to, and you can do it. Understand? Yeah. So that is the secret behind being able to stay with one person forever as we. It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't get married without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you're going to your wedding, make sure you bring the Holy Spirit along. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Right. So there are many others, you know, very interesting. This is a very great book. It's going to help you. Amen. It's a great guide, and I'm grateful to the bishop for putting together such a powerful, you know, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your words. Hey!
Hey!
You see, you know a lot of your trouble has come because of your words. Do you understand? Saying the wrong things. Even when you are at an interview, that's what an interview is about. The person says, come, let me talk with you. See who you are. Then you arrive at the interview without the influence of the Holy Spirit. So you are saying all the wrong things. You don't know that actually what you are saying is digging a pit for you. You are making sure the person was even impressed with your resume, because that one was written and sent ahead and was about to hire you, but he decided, let me just hear you first. Then you arrived. And when you arrived, you began to undo every impression that your resume had given him. So after 5 minutes with you, he was now very sure that he didn't want you. But if the Holy Spirit is influencing your words, you will say the right things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you will say the right things. And you will say them in the right way. Hallelujah. And you see, and there are scriptures. I mean, there are scriptures backing all these things, you know. And hallelujah. Right. So, the Holy Spirit's influence, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your level of obedience. Another one is the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your level of boldness. Do you see? Boldness. So if you want to know what to pray about, and as you keep going through the book, you see each of these things is a topic. Do you understand? Each of these is like you to pray for boldness, because some of you lack boldness. Do you understand? Boldness, confidence, to be able to stand in front of somebody and speak to them in a way that gives them an assurance that you can do the job. Do you understand? Yeah. Without fumbling, without looking like you are now looking for the words and trying to see, you are just desperate to get the job. Do you understand? Yeah. And there's no boldness, but the Holy Spirit can give you boldness. Then another one is the influence of the Holy Spirit, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your willingness and eagerness, you know, then on your talents and abilities, and then on your creativity. This is one of my favorite ones. The sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your creativity and also on your productivity. Hallelujah. Right. So everybody get the book. She has brought copies for everybody, enough copies for everybody, you know. So I don't want you to go home without it. There are electronic versions of the book also, and you can just buy either one of them and have it. I believe that it's going to transform your life and transform your prayer life. Hallelujah. So you will know and learn how to pray during the season. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Right, why don't you bow your heads with me? Just begin to pray, everybody, and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to yield to you. I want to yield to your sweet influences. I want to yield to your sweet influences. Sweet influences. Just pray, everybody, and ask God to help you. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing and thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity even to learn how to pray through the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and for his influence on our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will teach us, that the Holy Spirit will give us insight, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us and help us to understand deeper things, to understand life, to understand our walk with you in the name of Jesus, to take the right decisions and to make the right choices in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your blessing this morning. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray that in the coming week, you will take us further and deeper into your things and into the things that pertain to the Spirit. May we live under the influence of the Spirit of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, rather than under the influence of our flesh, the influence of the world, and the influence of the devil, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated.